We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Two down, two to go. Welcome into our third hour here of Sports Talk. By this time tomorrow, Zion should officially be a New Orleans Pelican for the NBA draft. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, Mark Menard at Master Control, taking your phone calls at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Lee Uptown, what's going on, Lee? You're on WWL. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, I appreciate it. I think it was a really interesting call from ESPN about the idea of having college players go into more of a free agent signing period. One thing I would suggest, I think it has a lot of merit to it, and I think if you suggested, you know, if these players go to college and they stay for 3 years, that would allow them the ability to go straight to free agency. The ones that want to do one and done, then they would have to go to the draft. And I think that would, you know, add some parity to that idea and also help the college programs out, keep the Sextons of the world at LSU and not have them be one and done, and have more competitive NCAA college basketball going forward.
You know, Lee, I don't think Bobby is either. I'm not a fan of the one and done in general. I think you should just go right from high school to the NBA. And you know what came out of that interview was, I know a lot of people were screaming at us, Bobby, on the text line, but I mean, just open your mind a little bit. It was a contrary and different approach, and I don't think this was at all aimed at New Orleans as much as it was taking advantage of an opportunity to convey that, hey, maybe the NBA should address it this way. I thought he had some pretty good points.
Well, and you know, the one thing it does, Christian, also, and I think Lee would agree with this, it puts a lot of pressure on how in the hell you run your organization, from the owners to the general manager. If you go about doing things the right way, you can be a winner and be NBA champions. Perfect example. Look at the Raptors. They didn't have one lottery player on that team, and they the world champs. Now, Lee, the one thing is, what approach, because I understand your proponent for college sports, college athletics, because I think that benefits society. But what if you're an individual, because it was a joke with Simmons at LSU, well, you're not even going to class. I mean, so what if you got players that are so talented out of high school and they're always going to have players, especially in basketball, football, Herschel Walker, Leonard Fournette could have went straight to the pros to me and make it in the NFL level. But it's a lot different NFL than professional NBA basketball. But what is your take when players, they have the ability – but they don't necessarily that they want to go to school. They want to go to class. Should you force them to do that? Considering you could still make a living without actually getting a college education because of their skill set. Now, if they get hurt, they have nothing to fall back on. That's a different story. But to me, it's kind of a hypocrisy, the one and done, when they're not even eligible. They're not even going to class, and they're having to go play college basketball for that 1 year. To me, if they're good enough and – you know, they want to go in the NBA, and let's say they don't make it, then you can still be a professional player at a different level, whether it be the CBA or you go to Europe somewhere else, if you can't make it at the NBA level. What is your take on that?
Well, my take on this is, first part is, I think college is a natural step to the NBA, and I think you should not go straight from high school to the pros. I think if the players...
But Lee, what about you have the skill set of a Moses Malone, LeBron James? I mean, so why should you not give them that opportunity if they're that good to go straight to the NBA?
Because I think it's an advantage to the college programs to be able to have those players.
That makes sense.
Because to create the revenue for the colleges. Otherwise, you have a college program that is really nothing, you know, maybe not much more than really good 5A high school basketball.
Right.
And maybe I think you end up structuring the rookie class that goes in the NBA, that if you come out after you're one and done, if you don't go to class, that's fine. That's up to you.
Right.
But if you come out and the structure is, your starting salary is maybe $300,000 a year, versus staying for 3 years, going to class, maybe getting a degree. And if you're that good, then you sign the big bucks and get a $2 or $3 million contract in the free agency suggestion this gentleman had from ESPN.
Lee, you bring up some really good points as well. And that's why this conversation, I think, is healthy, where some want to shy away from it and say, oh, no, that's preposterous. It's silly. No, I don't know that it necessarily is. But at least have the conversation.
And you know, to me, who's the ultimate one and done at the NCAA level, and they do not win the championship without him, that being the Syracuse Orange man, Carmelo Anthony. Look what the impact he had. So what if he, because he had the ability, straight out of high school, to go to the NBA. Mm-hmm. But that enabled Syracuse all of a sudden to win that national championship.
Also, those one-and-done deals, I think that's a big reason as to why we saw that federal wiretapping and all that big investigation. I think it leads to a lot of these shoe companies doling out a lot of money to ensure these guys go to those particular schools. Lee, great phone call coming back. We got Lee in Houston, Texas. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk tomorrow, inviting you to join me, Seth Dunlap, and Deuce McAllister for wall-to-wall NBA draft coverage starting at 4 o'clock, 4 to 9. We'll have Seth and Deuce in here as well, and the Pelicans own the number 1 overall pick. By this time tomorrow, it should be official that Zion is officially coming to New Orleans. Lee in Houston, Texas. What's going on, Lee? You're on WWL.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, Lee.
Good evening,
hey, Lee.
Guys. Thank you for taking my phone call. I think David Griffin has already changed the culture down there in New Orleans, and he hasn't even made a draft pick yet. So, you know, he's doing a great job. I have two questions. Has the NBA set their salary cap for 2019 and 20? And if they have, how much do the Pelicans, once the Anthony Davis trade and all that is completed, I know it's not completed until July 6th, but the Pelicans should have a good amount of money under the cap to work with, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the Solomon Hill deal is still hurting them a little bit, but when free agency starts in July, I think that's where they're gonna set it here in the next couple of weeks. Hold on. I'm going to Mark real quick.
Yeah, Mark, what you got?
Yeah, the NBA salary cap for next season is about $109 million.
Okay, $109. And so where are the Pelicans? Look up where the Pelicans
fall.
Yeah,
for the casual fan, they don't know what the hell that means. I mean, we're more in tune with the NFL salary cap versus the NBA.
Right.
But with that being said, you know what's amazing also? If you have an owner. And that's why I think an owner like the Clippers and you have resources. You know what I'm intrigued with, and it's collectively bargained, is the whole luxury tax. You know, but when I look at the luxury tax, so look at the Warriors, and they're trying to keep the team together, and how we'll pay way above and beyond board the luxury tax. Now that's when I think truly, like a major market versus a small market. A small market cannot feasibly. Fiscal responsible if all of a sudden they're going way over the luxury tax. That's the difference that I'm intrigued with when I look at the NBA when you talk about the luxury tax and what comes about. But Christian, I wanted to read a couple of texts. And Lee, and just be patient. You look at Carmelo Anthony. That's a nice text that is from, 3660. Carmelo Anthony chose to go to college. He wasn't part of the one-and-done rule. He was drafted the same year as LeBron. But that's what he chose. I take the approach that whether you're out of high school or you one-and-done, 2 years in the college, 3 years in the college, why shouldn't you be able to market yourself as an individual to get peak value for yourself and your ability? So let's say you might be in college a couple of years. You win a national championship. Okay, man, I had a great year. I'm ready to be compensated and to take advantage of an opportunity. So, I don't know. People think, what about college basketball? If you truly take the approach and if you for the individual player, and I thought this is a great text. This is from 83-82. Why do the players owe anything to the colleges? You know, the previous caller obviously is a fan of college basketball, but he goes on to say, why do these players owe anything to the colleges? Why would the players who can go straight into the pros or anything to a college that would not be able to pay him? Because you have to you look at your value when you get compensated. Then he goes on to say, I don't buy that if you let them go pro, college basketball will suffer because you always have college basketball players. It might be tend to be a farm system. But when you realistically look at it, if you're a capitalist and what's better for the individual, if you're in that position, that's not the player's problems. I mean, come on. That's University of Kentucky or Duke or Indiana, LSU, whoever it might be. That's their problem. If you're truly looking at the individual.
I'm doing what's best for me.
Yes, and the player and their family.
I don't have to worry about all their so yeah, their problems whether it's colleges.
Whether you come in, now it's harder in recruiting. And look at Calipari, what he has to do at Kentucky. I think Coach Krzyzewski realizes that Duke, well, they have to play the game, and then you go forward. But I look at it, if you could play, you could play. If you could come out of high school like Moses Malone, LeBron James, then do it. And then if you don't make it, then you get humbled, and you might have to go the CBA or something to make a living. Because a lot of these players, come on, realistically, why are they going to college? To promote their basketball career. They're not going to class or going to college to get a degree. Maybe they should think that way, but you got to be realistic at where they're at in
life. Once their season's over, they don't attend another classroom whatsoever.
Yeah,
typically, it's just for them to advance and further their basketball career, as you said. Lee in Houston, Texas, thanks for the phone call. Derek in South Carolina. What's going on, Derek? You're on WWL. Hey, Derek. Hey, Derek, we got a bad connection. If you're on like some sort of Bluetooth device, take us off.
Yeah, you sound like you're in a cave.
Yeah, you sound like you're muffled. So we'll get to you in a moment. Joe in Mandeville, what's going on, Joe? You're on WWL.
Hey.
Hey, Joe, what's up? Man, too bad about
okay.
No, I said too bad. Texas Tech's still hanging. They only have one loss. So.
Yeah, I got my fingers crossed for them. I need a Big 12 team in the title game. But real quick. Real quick.
Nothing's real quick with you, Joe. You say that every time, and it's never real quick.
You know, KD was at Texas for 1 year, and he blossoms into this all-star for the NBA.
Right. Okay. Joe, you could say arguably right now, this is not being a homer, you being from UT, are the best player in the world, I mean, before the injury.
Right. Now, with that said – it left the University of Texas holding them back. If you're 18 and you were arrogant enough to think that you can move the needle in the NBA, so be it. Go and see if you can get drafted. But if you commit to the university, I need 3 years. I've got something that'll promote your basketball skill and talent through the NCAA, where it's $1 billion in revenue. And you've got the whole nation watching you, okay? But I need 3 years so these programs can actually prosper and also develop their athletes. And because I'm telling you, it's a sad commentary when I hear 75% of the basketball players in the NBA, after they're out, they go broke. They're not mature enough. They need to learn how to read a book. They need to learn how to do math. They need to learn how to complete a sentence so you can manage your money.
Learn You're kind how of to saying a blanket state. Statement here that all of them can't speak and do simple math, Joe. I mean, you'd be better served saying
– No, but Joe's making a great point about going bankrupt and
I agree with that,
the fiscal responsibility.
I think that you could show just as many cases of guys that have been in there for 3 years. If they're there 3 years, doesn't mean they're actually going to learn – everything they need to learn about money management. I think you hire ultimately a consultant to do that for you.
And we all remember Dexter Manley graduating from Oklahoma State, and he had a third grade reading level. Yeah, you're right about that. But I would think somewhere along the way, everything would click, and these guys would say, hey, you know what? I need this. I can improve all my basketball skills, and I can learn and be a little bit more responsible, because I'm telling you, they get all that money. You can ask Bobby. They get all that money. They not know what to do with it, and they blow it.
Yeah, but I think that's across sports in general. You can make that case about football players and baseball players. Happens all the time. Joe, we're up against the clock. Thanks for the phone call. If you want to sit tight, I'll bring you back after the CBS local news headlines.
Joe's making some great points. Joe, oh, he hung up. But let me tell you, Christian, that if you look at Joe's thinking and that the individual players, that I think somehow in the future, a stipend, whatever it might be, they got to figure out some kind of compensation. I don't know what that number is, what that figure is, but they got to figure that out.
Derek, coming to you next. Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby and Christian. Also, changed our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. It is Coach O ranked 15th in the country as the best football coach in college. Is that too high, too low, or just right? Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Derek in South Carolina. Go ahead, Derek. You're on WWL.
Hi, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, Derek.
Good, thank you.
I was calling because I wanted to address – I heard the past two callers, and I wanted to address that I think that when it comes to those players, I agree with you, Bobby, that they should be able to come out of high school and play because when they go to college, they're not necessarily fairly compensated. And they bring in multiple streams of revenue to these colleges. And then if they're getting any type of kickback, then they can, you know, then they get in trouble.
Right.
When really those colleges are making between the video games and the shoe companies and the tournaments, they're making millions of dollars off these kids.
Well, the video games are obsolete now. They don't happen anymore. But they're making millions of dollars at concessions and at sporting events, et cetera.
No, the shoe companies is ridiculous. Now, that's a racket, whether it be Nike, Adidas, whole ball of wax. I mean, that is unbelievable what different universities get from whether it be Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, whoever it might be. That's part of the revenue that universities count on. And now, Derek, what do you think about this, though? Because everybody thinks they're better than what they really are. LeBron was a stud, and he could back it up.
Right.
And I think Zion's in that case. So what would you do with a player that maybe has a bigger vision for himself, but he's not realistic, and I'm going pro, and then he don't make it at an NBA level? Because I think you could have a farm system like you have in baseball, you know, when you like, rookie league, single A, double A, triple A, which is before you get to the majors. And then if you're going to make it in basketball, you might have to go to you came out of high school, it didn't work out in the NBA, you go to the CBA, maybe you develop, or you got to go overseas, play in Europe, Australia, whatever it might be. But then
you trying to do that with the G League.
Right, the G League.
But those, they don't pay the same as they do overseas. And honestly, if the colleges want to keep making that revenue, say somebody comes out of high school who's supposed to be a big deal.
Right.
But then they go to the NBA their first year or whatever.
And don't make
it. They're not that big a deal.
Right.
Then why not let them come back to school, put them on a scholarship, and let them develop?
Because then you're not an amateur. Because, I don't know, then you'd have to change the rules as far as professionalism versus amateurism. Because once you get paid, you're considered a professional. You understand what I'm saying? So that's when how do you compensate what you've been paid, even though you didn't live up to expectation, you're going back to college. See, that's where it gets dicey as far as, you roll the dice and you want to be a pro basketball player, and you didn't really make it, and now you're 24 years old, and you ain't got a pot to pee in because you weren't as good as you thought. You didn't develop, and you're not even in the G League. I mean, so what do you do there going forward? Do you learn a trade, go learn to be a plumber, or you go whatever it might be, a welder? I mean, because that's very humbling. Because you have a lot of players, I'm telling you, they think they're better than they are, and they don't realize.
Well, that happens in every walk of life, not just pro athletes. It can apply to a lot of the professional workforce.
Right, and that's a message, you know, that should be given to these kids, along with, you know, hey, trying to develop them into basketball players, but let them know, listen, I think more stress should be put on the educational part. So that they can understand, you know, look at the numbers, the odds, you
right.
know, making it in the NBA. And I think that these schools, big-time schools, small-time schools, when they're going after these kids, they just see somebody who's good, and they know they're only going to have them for about a year, and they try to get the most out of them for in that amount of time before yeah. they go to the NBA.
Derek, you're on the money. On I mean, look, these coaches, their jobs are dependent upon 18-year-old kids and how much success they have, and more importantly, at the basketball level in terms of opposed to the football level, where you know that you're going to have them for at least 3 years, so you got time to develop them. You're relying on those guys like Zion and others, to have success right away because your job's dependent upon it. So they're not as concerned. It's a selfish approach, Derek. Really good points, but they're not as concerned about that player getting educated as much as they are getting to the Final Four of the Sweet 16, where they can cash in on a bonus themselves.
And Derek, what do you think of this? This is a texter, 1199. If you wash out in the G League, then you try to go to college and see if that works out. If not, somehow, you work and see if you can get a job like everyone else. Then, it's very humbling. You're back in the real world. I don't care what the hell you did at AAU, you did in high school. Can you take that next step? I mean, there's a lot of people. It's very humbling. And they don't understand the numbers. You know, when you look at Christian, I want to say, even when I was growing up, I don't know what it is today. Like, you look at all the high school football players, it was like one out of 12,000 something high school football participants make it in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I know it's
1%.
Way less. I know it's way less in the NBA and stuff. So
less jobs.
Come on, you could be a stud in high school and all that. That's why I think sometimes these kids, they're not realistic and they don't have no mentors to guide them and humble them and say, man, I mean, you good, but you're not that good.
Right. You got a shot, but let's get you refined in all aspects
right.
of life
exactly.
before we start thinking about the NBA, the NFL, or
right.
college baseball, or pro baseball. Derek, thanks for the phone call. Jay and Slidell, you're up next. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back on Sports Talk, Jay and Slidell. What's going on, Jay? You're on WWL. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. Two things, really. One thing really quick. You know, I've always been Bobby did a free agency thing, and
right.
if a kid can come out and play in high school, out of high school, he should be allowed to play. We don't let him a guitarist or artist or anybody else.
Right.
So that's my stand on that. But number two, how about the cost of a tennis stipend? This is what really caught my ear when you guys were talking about like learning, teaching kids how to plant. You're going to give them a cost of a tennis stipend, then make it cumulative, and teach them how to invest that money so they leave after 4 years or 2 years or 3 years or 1 year, and you say, you know, we've taught you how to invest. We've taught you how to prepare for your future.
Well, yeah, and you know what, Jay? Now you do things online or but the old school, you know what's crazy, Christian, is that when I think about even back in the day, it's different today because, computers and all that. But, yeah, people didn't even know how to freaking balance a checkbook.
Yeah.
Like what?
You know, it's not – Bobby and Jay, it's not –
It's like you should have a class in that.
Yeah, well, they did in high school I went to.
You're spending that money that you don't have? No, you can't write a hot check. I mean,
But it's not incumbent upon the colleges, the universities, to teach these kids how to manage money. I think some of it's on the parents. It's also something that I think you have professionals that can do that for you, that you go out and hire. That's how – I mean, to expect these guys to all do it themselves, the good ones, the smart ones, hire a money manager that they can trust, that they know has got a good reputation, and it budgets their life. I mean, I've talked to several football players, Saints players, that walked into the league. They said, hey, I'm on my rookie contract. Financial advisor, I want you to carve out a budget as if I'm living on $300,000 a year. Put the rest aside.
Well, the one thing I'm encouraged by going forward is Zion. I'm glad the Zion train is coming our way. I mean, he is mature, well mature beyond his years. Well spoken. I mean, to me, Zion, his stepfather, his whole family environment, I mean, going to Duke and all. Christian, he just seems like he got his you-know-what together. He got his act. He got his act together, and I'm impressed with that. And I just think that's where he's at right now in life. And I'm encouraged that it's not going to be too big for him to be able to handle the pressure and the circumstance. He's very humble.
Mm-hmm.
He's very humble considering how great he is. That's what I appreciate.
What does high school coach tell us? I don't know if you were on the air. He said that, and I've learned this from a lot of these mega athletes that are super successful. They keep a very close circle, right? They don't have a big entourage. You look at most of them, Tom Brady, Breeze, they don't have big entourages, and they keep a very small circle, but they're also their family circle is very, very tight. They make decisions a lot of time as a family. Zion has a lot of those characteristics. You will hear from Zion Williamson next hour here on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Michael in Mid-City. What's going on, Michael? You're on WWL.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Good,
look,
Mike.
I just want to say that I saw Zion on TV today talking, and I'm saying he is much more an alpha dog than AD will ever be. I'm saying Zion Williamson right now at 18 is better than AD right now. Okay,
on the court, he's better.
I would tend to agree with that, Michael, because I don't know. You listen. You hear someone speak and how they present themselves. To me, right. Zion is head and shoulders above Anthony Davis. To me, Anthony
head
Davis.
Head and shoulders.
And you know what, Michael? I told Christian, I hope this not happen. This does not happen. But I think AD is going to kick butt with the Lakers. You know why? He's the Robin. He's not the alpha dog.
Right.
And I think he's going to be awesome with the Lakers. Now, I hope the Lakers don't win anything. But I just think he'll be that good. But when you hear Anthony Davis compared to Zion, Anthony Davis can't hold Zion's jock when it comes to the whole public perception.
I'm saying AD is not a great player, which, you say, he's probably going to do great in L.A. with LeBron. But Zion, he ain't going to be wearing a shirt that says somebody else picked out for him that says that's all, folks.
Right.
That's all I can say.
I agree with that, yep. Michael. Listen, I think Zion's one of those guys that he's going to have success. And I think
– And I
the only thing, Michael, I don't know if we're patient enough short-term, but I think over the long haul, long-term, Zion will be highly successful.
Let me tell you one more thing. Yeah, I've heard you talk about when Cam Newton came in when he went to Auburn, he completely single-handedly, almost by himself, destroyed the SEC.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. And I'm saying Zion is going to have that effect in the NBA.
Whoa, hello. All right, go Pels.
Oh, hey.
Michael, I love the optimism, but I don't think he's going to single-handedly wreck the NBA. Michael, what you're saying is that he's better than
Michael
LeBron
credit.
James and KD. Robbie, he's going to be a better player than those two guys. And, man, those are two some of the all-time greats. I hope you're right, Michael. If he's that good and can single-handedly wreck the NBA, man, that's awesome.
Well,
I just don't see it
the
happening.
The one thing with Michael's saying, and that it's all a PR perspective. Obviously, what you do on the court, you let your actions speak for themselves. But as far as from a PR perspective and you the front man, I mean, Zion is a slam dunk, home run, however you describe it. I mean, Zion just has that swagger that is not too big for him. Christian, where he's at, he's going to accept the challenge. I think his stepfather and all his whole family involvement, that his head is screwed on right. Where I think Zion at times understands you got to be more an extrovert than an introvert. Well, I think Anthony Davis just wanted to be an introvert. He did not want to be that guy. Always said this, if Kevin Durant had the Russell Westbrook mentality or would truly be that extrovert, Kevin Durant would be the best player in the history of pro basketball, even better than Michael Jordan. Now, he don't necessarily want to be that. You know who else is like that? Now, he's an alpha dog, but can you be the figurehead of a franchise and produce on the court? Not too many individuals could do that. You know who don't want to talk to the public and the media? And he's unbelievable. He might be the best player right now. I think he is the best player right now, considering that Kevin Durant is hurt, as Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard, listen, Zion could do a better interview than Kawhi Leonard right now. You know, to be outspoken or well-spoken and understand that the task at hand, what comes about, like when you hear Drew Brees, a lot of responsibility, but how you deal with the media and all that. Look, LeBron James. LeBron James, love him or hate him, LeBron James is freaking unbelievable. When you consider no trouble coming into the league as an 18-year-old and as mature as LeBron James has been, come on. LeBron James is unfreaking believable. I think Zion has those characteristics, and hopefully he brings that to the Pelicans.
High character guy. That's what we've heard. Natural, infectious leader, great charisma. Coming up next hour, a guy that knows him pretty well, in particular Coach Krzyzewski, Rick Haro. He's called the sports professor. He will join us. Also, you will hear from Zion Williamson. He spoke to the media today in New York. You'll hear from the presumptive number one overall pick tomorrow night in the NBA draft. Right now online at WWL.com. Seth Dunlap, four players the Pelicans could target with the number four pick in the NBA draft. You can check it out at WWL.com of course, he'll review it on the last lap with Seth Dunlap tonight. Also, tomorrow, tune in 4 o'clock, a special NBA draft edition with Deuce McAllister, Seth Dunlap, and myself. We're here from 4 to 9 p.m. tomorrow, recapping, previewing, and recapping the NBA draft. All that and more coming your way tomorrow. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFMN.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.